If you enjoy our hymn studies, be sure to check out the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. Praise and Honor contains a devotional for each stanza from hymns like God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, We Praise and Acknowledge You, O God, and more. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. He because I could not name it, gave my full redemption price. The Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the hymn God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. These good hymns that the church has left to us, they benefit us in so many different ways. They continue century after century to proclaim the Word of God to us, to reveal God's Word of Law and Gospel to us. And the really good ones also bear up under scrutiny. You can actually take them apart word for word. You can find the biblical roots there. And they can even become thereby part of your devotion. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about hymns in Christian devotion. Pastor Timothy Shoup joins us. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bondwell, Wisconsin, and he's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. Pastor Shoup, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much. My honor.
What makes for a good hymn?
Well, that's a good question. I think my initial or my immediate response would be, is Christ in the hymn? And maybe follow that up with, does the hymn communicate Christ well? Does the hymn teach me God's Word, that sort of thing? And, you know, I think it's kind of like a sermon. What makes a good sermon? Is Christ in it? Do the pastor's words and delivery communicate well? I kind of think with a hymn, the music maybe is sort of like the delivery of a sermon. So does the music complement the text and help carry it well so that the two go together and the text is, oh, maybe accented or helped along by the melody? Sometimes, I mean, it's very obvious that if you think about it, sometimes the text and the melody just fit so well together you almost don't even think about it. And then there's other times where we're maybe used to singing a hymn that that's the way it is, but it's if you'd actually analyze it, it's a little bit clumsy with the melody. Anyway, I'm just trying to point out that we can have a, you know, a strong sense of appreciation and thanksgiving for the hymns that have strong music and, you know, melodies that go nicely with the texts. But ultimately, is Christ in the hymn, and what is the hymn teaching me and proclaiming to me about him?
Is there a particular hymn or two from the book that you'd like to talk about, and how did you go about selecting which ones to include, since you only had room for 14?
Yeah. Well, the second part of the question first, the 14, there was this idea that maybe we could match a hymn with different life events. So we started plunking away at that, and you get your standard events that are important, baptism and confirmation and a wedding and so forth. And then we came up with a few others, like maybe confessing our sin or the need for comfort at the time of death, this sort of thing. So that kind of set the structure, the outline, and then I wanted to pick hymns, though, that sort of traced through the centuries a little bit so that we didn't have just all familiar, on the one hand, hymns, nor all recently written, even if they are familiar or not. So we have a hymn like Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, and that goes all the way back to the 5th century. That was originally chanted in the liturgy as people, as the elements were brought forward for the Lord's Supper. A Greek canticle. Then hymns that are more recently written, newer to us from Lutheran service book, I wanted to get some of each in there. And then, like I maybe started to say, to have them match with those key events in our lives. Let's see, you said something about any hymns that I want to particular talk about. Even a hymn like God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, you know, our congregation has been singing that, and I just figured that that was a hymn recently written with kind of a, you know, a nice flowing, moving melody, and it turns out that text is actually 300 years old, and the tune is not new either. So it's new to us, but what a nice, you know, what a nice hymn, a great hymn about baptism, and I guess if I could talk just a little bit about it, one of the things that either I wasn't paying attention all the times that we had already sung it, or what, but the middle three stanzas, the author actually has us talking to sin, Satan, and death, rather than in a lot of hymns, we talk about our three enemies, and we talk about sin, about Satan and death, but, you know, here he's actually got us facing off with sin, death, and Satan. Who gets up into death's face? Well, the baptized into Christ can, and with the power of Christ, we can actually speak, and that's what the hymn does, has us talking to sin, Satan, and death, as if there's these sort of evil creatures in the room or something, which Satan, of course, is, but by the power of Christ, I can say to death, you cannot end my gladness. I am baptized into Christ, that sort of thing. So just an interesting note about actually talking to those things instead of about them is sort of subtle, but makes the hymn even more, I don't know, for me, more impactful, more powerful.
Was there another hymn that you treated devotionally there, stanza by stanza, that kind of suddenly opened up to you as you looked at it closely?
I think this is an example of that. 369 is a new Christmas hymn, and it's kind of unique. The title is Where Shepherds Lately Knelt and Kept the Angel's Word. And our music director here, when LSB first came out 10, 12 years ago, whatever it was, she introduced that hymn to me then as she was kind of working through the hymnal, and we both thought, oh, this is a nice hymn, and then we just kind of left it lie. And maybe recently we finally picked it up again, and then when I was selected that to be used for this book, in that hymn, we use first person I 6 times in 4 short stanzas in a Christmas hymn. So after I started reading, I'm thinking, okay, why are we singing I in a Christmas hymn? I mean, normally you'd get that in a hymn of confession or something like that. Lord, to you I make confession. I have sinned and gone astray, that sort of thing. But Christmas hymns, we sing third person about Jesus, about him. He's born, he's come down to earth, that sort of thing. So in this hymn, the author, the first stanza is, where shepherds lately knelt and kept the angel's word, I come in half belief, a pilgrim strangely stirred. So he writes first person, but in a way that brings the worshiper, brings you and me to the manger and to reflect in a way that we often don't at Christmas time. And there's this honesty there. I come in half belief. And for those of us that aren't given permission in most Christmas hymns to be honest about the half belief that my sins are actually forgiven or my doubts about a certain doctrine or whatever it might be, the rest of that stanza goes, but there is room and welcome there for me, but there is room and welcome there for me. So that Christmas hymn, that was eye-opening to study and to get a handle on what the author's doing with it. It's very different than the other Christmas hymns in my way of thinking. Very fun to study and see what's there.
Am I mistaken that, is there actually an original hymn that you dealt with in this book?
Our congregation in 2013 celebrated our 150th, and at that time we kicked around the idea of seeing if we could have somebody write a hymn for us. So we contacted Pastor Starkey and asked if he would accept a commission to write an anniversary hymn for us, which he did, and that hymn is also in the book. Give ear, O Zion, to God's call. So that's an original hymn, and that was written for the occasion of our 150th, but Pastor Starkey was quick to point out early on, he said, but understand, if I do this, I will not be writing a hymn about St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bondiwell and the folklore and the stories in northern Wisconsin. And our little committee kind of looked at each other and said, huh? I thought it was supposed to be, for us and for our anniversary. And he said, no, I'll be writing for the occasion of your anniversary, but it will be a hymn filled with Christ, a hymn that can be sung by the church at large. So, oh, okay, like a good hymn should do. So that's that.
There is also another Stephen Starkey hymn that has very quickly become a favorite of many, a setting of the Te Deum set to that famous hymn, Jupiter. Talk a little bit about what you found there in that ancient hymn kind of set to a new frame of wording and music.
Sure. Well, first of all, with fear and trepidation, it's like, okay, I'm going to try and write devotions about the Te Deum that's been in the church for hundreds of years. You know, I was a little intimidating, but to study it, that was just a gift to me to be able to do that. And a couple things maybe that come to mind there, maybe a couple of simple things that should have been obvious to me but weren't. So the Latin for the Te Deum is Te Deum, two words, Te Deum. And those have been staring at us our whole lives, and those of us that grew up with TLH and sang the Te Deum from the Matin service and that sort of thing. The first word when we sing, and also in the Starkey setting, is, you know, we. And that's good English, but it's not good Latin. And in the Latin, the first word isn't we, it's you. It's you, God, we praise, or you, we praise as God. And the emphasis, it's, I can't remember now, it's 16, 18, 19 times in the original Latin. The first word of those lines is te, you. And the emphasis is always on the one who is receiving the praise rather than on you and me, rather than on we who are doing the praising. So that's just a little thing, but that was interesting to discover. And then maybe something a little more meaty or substantive is to spend time looking at, you know, the text is so rich and so powerful, and the expanse of the text is so broad. And the way I sort of sized it up is that it takes us from the, you know, from the outer limits of what we know in existence, from the, you know, the throne room of God with cherubim and seraphim, and those angels singing from Revelation, the angelic Te Deum, and different verses of it, those angels singing, and then we learn, I mean, we can say actually they've been singing the Te Deum going all the way back to the days of Isaiah from his calling in Isaiah 6. So the arithmetic brings us up to something like 2,700 years at least that the angels have been singing this song that we get to join in. And to put that into perspective a little bit helps me settle down when I'm full of my anxiety or my little problems, and to realize the expanse of what's going on in God's kingdom above. And yet from that kingdom, he brings his son down into this world. Second half of the hymn, all about what Christ has done, who comes down into this world, of course, to redeem, to save, to suffer and die for us. I think my point there was about the breadth of what is going on in the world above and below, and how those are joined together for us by God and the bringing of his son into the world.
We'll pick up our conversation tomorrow on hymns and Christian devotion, talking with Pastor Timothy Shoup about the need for hymns to reinforce and repeat the message of the Sunday morning scripture readings and propers. We'll also talk about the value of memorizing hymns. Pastor Timothy Shoup is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bondwell, Wisconsin, and author of the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. It takes the stanzas of 14 well-loved hymns, and it turns each one of them into a devotion. You can find out more about this devotional resource from Concordia Publishing House at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. Ask for the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.